Of course, our scripture today comes from Acts, the second chapter, and as I was starting to read over it, I was thinking about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was in Mexico on a recruiting trip, and I don't speak any Spanish. It was just really interesting going around, and the way you communicate when you don't speak the same language. I mean, I got really good at saying, entiendo muy un poco en español, you know, I don't speak very much Spanish, and I was getting very hopeful when I would say habla inglés, and this is what I got most of the time. But when I want to communicate more, it seems like I talk louder when I'm talking to somebody in English. I'm down here, you know, talking to the Mexican people, and I start to have a lot more eye contact and really start to read the person's body language. I mean, when I was at the little restaurant and I really wanted a burrito, I was really looking at them. And the communication happens when you want it to. When the day of the Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd gathered was the bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in heaven above, and signs on earth below, blood and fire, and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before coming to the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
For all of those who have ever been a liturgist in the church, that was well done. In that scripture reading, absolutely well done. And as opposed to his pastor, he didn't spit once, which was really good. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this day that you have given us, and you speak into our lives. We thank you for that. Your word is alive, not simply ink on paper. It's not dead. It is vibrant, and it reminds us of how you continue to mold us, how you continue to fill us with your grace and love. So keep us open now as we continue to worship you, continue to listen for your voice into our lives. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. You know, for those of you who were here last week, I'll share that it was Ascension Sunday. I'll remind you of that. For those of you who weren't here, I'll share with you that I had said that I have never seen a Happy Ascension Day card at Hallmark. It seems like they have everything else. A card for everything else that you can imagine. An Ascension Sunday, the Sunday in which we remember Jesus being taken up into heaven. Jesus actually being risen up into heaven is an important day in the church calendar. Well, that brings us to today, Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, penta, meaning five, and referring to 50 days after Passover, was originally also a Jewish feast, the Jewish Feast of Weeks, which was a harvest festival, if you will. Now, I don't know that you're going to necessarily find a Happy Pentecost Day card at Walmart or any other place that you're looking. Although, after I did mention that I've never received an Ascension Sunday card, there was one brother and one sister in Christ that, believe it or not, found one and sent me an e-card. And so I'm grateful. They're very sharp people, and I expect nothing less from both of them for Pentecost Sunday as well. No pressure. What I would say, though, is for us, understanding Pentecost, and for us who are either wearing red or can see somebody right now who's wearing red, and we think about what's it all about, today is a day that we recall God at work through His Holy Spirit in a very clear and a very vibrant way. Now, red reminds us of flames. Okay, that's where the red color comes for Pentecost Sunday. And whenever it references in Scripture speaking in tongues of flame, okay, tongues of fire, we think about those, that fire, we think about those flames, and we think about the color red signifying flames. Now, this has nothing to do with what my brother in Christ was talking about at eating at a Mexican restaurant in tongues of fire. I'm not referencing that at all. Although I've had that experience, for me, it's generally my head turns red and starts sweating profusely. And people think about calling 911. But we think about this whole idea of God at work, and God at work in ways of unity and pulling people together. Now, in this historical recollection also, we remember a time of feasting when people were gathered together. And they were gathered together for the celebration of the Festival of Weeks and Pentecost. And this, opposed to Passover, was a time that pulled people together. Have you ever gone to a graduation party? Okay. Have you ever gone to a street festival? Okay. Have you ever gone to our fellowship time before worship? Have you ever had cake here? Okay, enough questions. You get the point. It's a gathering of people, all right? And everybody's welcome. Everybody can come, and it encompasses a large group of people. Passover is more of an intimate family time of gathering. Pentecost, people come from all over the place. Now, whenever our brother in Christ was mentioning all those places, okay, in the Scripture that are listed, people were coming from all over the known world to this gathering. They were going to be in one place. Was this something that God was bringing about? Absolutely. Did those people that were coming from all those places all over the world have any idea what God was about to do? Probably not. That points us towards the fact that God is at work always and already, even when we're not paying attention. Does God work only when we pay attention? No. Thank God. For us, the Pentecost Scripture, and I'll call it that because it's called the coming of the Holy Spirit, references Pentecost, and the working of God's Spirit in a wonderful and surprising way. The Pentecost Scripture reminds us that as we come from different directions as well, God is pulling us together as His church. Do we have different experiences? Absolutely. Are we carrying with us different emotions? Absolutely. Have we experienced different things in life? Yes. Have we done different kinds of work? Are we facing different challenges in the future? Yeah, absolutely. But does that mean we're alone? No. It means that because of what happened at Pentecost, we're in this together. Go ahead and say that to somebody right now. We're in this together. And don't leave the person on the other side out either. Yeah, I just thought about that. Whenever I say turn to somebody, you're only turning to one person. What about the other person? So make sure everybody's covered. We're in this together. And that is exciting. That I love people coming down for an altar call. That's wonderful also. That's awesome. My friend here, cute as Christmas, by the way. Whenever we think about God's Holy Spirit at work and moving us as His church and within the church, understand that that didn't stop right then. Certainly, there were some dramatic things that were happening. People were speaking in different languages. But I need to share this with you. There's a direct connection with this particular scripture passage and with the scripture passage in Genesis chapter 11, more well known as the Tower of Babel. If you understand what happened at the Tower of Babel, individuals were gathered and they were starting to feel pretty good about themselves. Have you ever patted yourself on your back and you threw your shoulder out maybe? Or you strain something. And so, you know, they're patting themselves on the back and saying, hey, we want to get closer to God. That was the so-called intent. Okay? Not going to preach a whole lot on the Tower of Babel, except what they were actually doing was starting to build a monument unto themselves. Say, hey, we're getting pretty good at this. Let's go a little bit higher. Hey, look at that. Yeah. Now, if you do that in Walmart or something like that, people might look at you odd, but that's kind of like a signal, like, look at what I'm doing. I'm all that in a bag of chips. And whenever we do that, whenever we think about it in that way, and when we're building our own monuments, and it's about I, it's not going to turn out well. Okay? What happens is that God started dispersing the people. They could no longer talk to each other. They could no longer communicate. So when a worker was asking for maybe a tool to help spread cement or mud, somebody threw a brick at him. That didn't work out much. And so they started dispersing. Whenever it was about them and their own glory, it did not turn out well. It didn't work. Pentecost reverses that. Did you see it? There was people gathered from all corners of the earth at the Tower of Babel, lifting up themselves, building an idol unto themselves. They were dispersed. Pentecost brings people together again, but now what is their focus? You can say it. God. These kids are smart too, by the way, and they look sharp today also. They're looking good, actually. God is now the focus. As our focus is God as well, we may not get an immediate answer to our problems. As God is our focus, we might not get an immediate solution to our challenges. We might not get even immediate peace in our minds and hearts and souls. However, as God is our focus and the starting point in our lives, we will know that we are focused in the right direction. And eventually, in God's timing, and in the season that God puts us in, God will speak. God will remind us. God will speak into our lives and say, you're mine. You belong to me. And I love you. The story of Pentecost also reminds us of the blessings of the working of God's Holy Spirit. As we focus ourselves on God, as we make God the center of our lives, as we make that decision, God already seeks to be the center of our lives. Okay? Be clear about that. No question about it. God seeks for that. But are we paying attention? When if we pay attention, when we humble ourselves, when we're open to that working of the Holy Spirit pulling us together, yes, there are wonderful things. And there are wonderful blessings of the Holy Spirit as well. There's kind of a theology of the Holy Spirit that develops in the Bible. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's mentioned in Romans. It sends spiritual gifts to equip the church for its ministry. 1 Corinthians 12. It reshapes the character and temperament of cooperating believers. I don't know if you've ever dealt with somebody who had a difficult temperament. Nobody here, right? Some of you looked right at the person next to you. I don't know what that... I mean, you shouldn't do that in church, even if you're wearing red. The Holy Spirit empowers such mysterious worship and edification gifts as speaking in tongues and interpreting the meanings of such speech. We're not going to get into that detail, but that is a spiritual gift. There is receiving the divine word and in prophecy as well. There are so many benefits of the working of the Holy Spirit, but we need to be oriented towards God first of all. Has the Holy Spirit been at work throughout all of time? Has the Holy Spirit been at work throughout all of Scripture? Yes. But in this time, and in the time of gathering, and in the time when the church really, really took hold and took shape in a very powerful way, the Holy Spirit worked in a unique manner, and in a manner that continues to be felt today in this very place. Are we all of a sudden going to be speaking in different languages to one another? Maybe not. Maybe there's somebody that you know intimately that sometimes you think is speaking in a different tongue. Possibly. That's not what I'm talking about. Is the wind going to go ahead and blow off the roof and we're going to just be inspired and there's going to be tongues of fire on top of our heads? Probably not. Although sometimes the wind blows through here pretty sharp, pretty powerfully, huh? Yeah, we even have tires on our roof to make sure everything is held down. Okay, so how does God's Holy Spirit work today? Well, as we're together, we know we're not alone. As God speaks into our life a truth or a bit of peace of heart, mind, and soul, That's the working of the Holy Spirit. God has been creating from the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, we understand that God spoke and breathed and there was new life and there was the working of the Holy Spirit right from the very beginning. So when God speaks to our lives and into our lives through His Word, through somebody else, through our times of prayer, I'm not necessarily talking about necessarily hearing the audible voice of God, but God speaking into our lives nonetheless. For us, Pentecost Sunday is a Sunday in which we celebrate once again, God at work in our journey, this very moment, this very breath. We can think about it in that way also. The very breath that we have is a breath in which we breathe in the Holy Spirit. The breath that we breathe out is a way that we can share God's love. Every breath you take today, breathing in God's Holy Spirit. Every breath you exhale, sharing God's love. At the very core of who we are, God is at work. And today, we share that as the church. And we are together as the church. God seeks for wonderful things to be happening through His church. And as long as we remember that we're on this journey together, we're going to be okay. later on today, we're going to be celebrating a baptism, the home of a family. And God's Holy Spirit is going to be at work there. Today, right after worship, you're going to get a chance to see people. And we're going to hold hands at the end of worship. And you're going to be looking around for somebody that you've never seen before in your entire life. And you're also going to be looking for somebody that you know pretty well. And you'll probably be looking, because I invite you to do this every Sunday, for somebody that you've forgotten since last week. And as we hold hands and as we share words of grace and share these words of power, God loves you, that's also Pentecost Spirit, Holy Spirit at work. Again, as we share those words, what is it? An exhale of the Holy Spirit through us, sharing words of grace, sharing words of hope to one another. This is the question I'd like you to ponder as we come into a time of prayer and reflection. Not only how is God's Holy Spirit at work in you, how have you sensed it? And it can be in a very subtle way. But how is God's Holy Spirit working through you now to build His church, to encourage others? Join with me in prayer.